You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Get your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 8th of November, 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.8%. We'll have the details with Jessica Amir from Moomoo, including the opportunities for investors. But first to the banking sector, where ANZ has wrapped up bank reporting season for the Big Four, $6.7 billion full-year profit. That's down 9.2%. But it faces the same pressures as all the banks, including a squeeze on margins. And it comes as shares in the Commonwealth Bank hit a record. So what is the outlook for the banking sector? For more, I spoke with Sam Garland, the banking lead at PwC.
Sam, first of all, how would you describe the current operating environment for Australia's Big Four banks?
Yeah, so the banks have just rolled off FY24. And their total cash earnings of $30.7 billion are actually nearly a record in historical terms. But despite that, what it really shows is that competition and costs have really drawn results back from what was a rate hike record in FY23.
Why is competition so strong at the moment? We've heard from the Big Four banks. A common theme has been how they've had to really ramp up their offerings or look at what they're doing, particularly in that mortgage unit, right? The mortgage book. And what does it mean for consumers?
Yeah, that's right. And it's a great time in that respect to be a bank customer. Margins for the year were about 6 basis points down. And just to put this into context, margins coming into the rate hike cycle were about 1.78%. Where we are now is just 1.81%. So margins have really not risen that much despite a very large increase in rates. And I think what's driving that is a couple of things. One is that there are a lot of new entrants and particularly some largers that have been causing and creating a lot of competition. Growth has been a little bit harder to come by because banks today are a lot more focused on a few offerings than they were if we look back 10 to 15 years. So it's a long-term trend. And then finally, I just think customers are more savvy, more focused on rates because we're in a higher rate environment. So people are shopping around.
Speaking of that higher rate environment, how have customers managed their finances as interest rates remain high? Because I do think some of the banks were talking about how arrears are growing, but it's not necessarily a huge problem for them just yet. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, for an individual, it's obviously a big problem. And you're right that the banks did call out that in the second half in particular, there were some spikes in arrears and some larger name exposures in the business banks. But in the grand scheme of things, I think how the banks have characterized that is it's really what's expected as we're working through this. And it's not significant. And so it's probably a fair bit lower than people have expected. And the bank results can absorb it for now, for sure.
I think it would be fair to assume that the next move in interest rates in Australia will be down. When it happens, we don't know. Possibly next year. So assuming we are about to enter a period of lower rates, what does this likely mean for the banks?
Yeah, and I'm glad you didn't ask me to call when it's going to be, Ricardo. But look, it's actually a very, very big question for banks right now is whether or not as rates start to fall, they have the opportunity to retain some of that margin decline that's taken place over recent times. That said, with competition so hot and the impression you'd have is that growth will increase quite rapidly as rates fall, I think it's a tough one to call whether or not that's going to be a benefit to bank margins or not.
So is that implying that banks will have to think about what they do when official interest rates start coming down, whether or not they pass on those rate cuts in full to customers then?
I think that's the classic kind of trade-off that a banker needs to make. And we also need to remember that we're not just talking about borrowers and say, well, so you pass those cuts on to deposit holders who have, you know, in the main benefited quite well from the rising rate environment. Banks are going to have to weigh all of that up. And I think with competition, I wouldn't be assuming that that's going to have a significant benefit to bank margins.
Okay. Where do you see growth coming from for the banks now?
Well, in a long-term sense, Ricardo, this is something that we've been looking at for some time because the banking sector in Australia has become very concentrated in lending and deposits. It's now well over 80% of how they make money. And so my view is that we're likely to see banks start to explore some degree of diversification or looking into other products and services to create more growth. And I think particularly looking at how they can build deeper customer relationships across everything that a customer does with its bank, rather than single product offerings, for example, in lending in particular.
And finally, what do you think this all means for investors?
Well, I think for now, return on equity at 11.1% for the year is above what most people would speculate is cost of capital. Australian banks on the grand scheme versus global banks are doing pretty well. I think the outlook is a tough one to call. I'm not a share market watcher in that respect. But we've got strong, high-performing banks in Australia, and there's no reason to think that that's going to change anytime soon.
That is Sam Garland from PwC.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8%. Jessica Amir from Moomoo has the details.
Jessica, what's driving the market today?
Well, the share market, it's continuing to celebrate the Trump victory, but I guess today's extra kicker or hot sauce came from the US Central Bank, Federal Reserve cutting interest rates as expected overnight by 0.25%. So the fact that we've got the Aussie share market just a whisker or 0.9% away from a record all-time high tells you markets are pretty buoyed by this by the double whammy.
Okay, let's break some of that up. We cannot not talk about Donald Trump. What's your take on the implication of his election as US president on shares and investments?
Well, so far, there's been plenty of winners and losers, but I will say a couple of things. We have seen US stocks and Bitcoin rise to their highest levels in history. And we saw the US broad benchmark index, the S&P 500, see its biggest jump in history after a president was appointed. So simply this tells us markets like Trump's pro-business stance, which is expected to, of course, bring less regulation and support corporate America. Expected to see less red tape. But also, Ricardo, after Trump's victory, we saw two key things. One of those was NVIDIA became the world's biggest company. It's now valued at $3.6 trillion US. That market cap or market value means it's twice as big as Australia's share market. And we do know NVIDIA is set to benefit and, I guess, reap billions of dollars in new tech and infrastructure spending. But the second thing that happened, Ricardo, is retail and institutional investors have been pouring into Bitcoin. And right as we speak, before we recorded this, the Bitcoin price moved into a brand new record all-time high price, $76,000 for the first time in history. It's now up 100% this year. So it's the best performing asset class. And over the past couple of weeks, Ricardo, we've seen $5 billion US pour into the world's biggest Bitcoin ETF. That's by iShares. Simply, investors are expecting, because of Trump, wider adoption and less regulation. So all in all, these trends are pretty telling.
Jess, you mentioned also a US interest rate cut. You followed the Bank of England as well overnight, but let's focus on the US Fed, cutting interest rates by 25 basis points. And the other interesting thing was that of the Fed Chair Jerome Powell standing firm, saying that he would not resign if Donald Trump asked him to, or I guess pressured him to. Talk me through how the market is viewing all of this.
What I'll simply say is we've got to remember the market is forward-looking. They're more focused on the health of the US economy and US company earnings. They're the two key ingredients that we need for share market growth. So all the talk about the potential of, you know, the Fed chair stepping down, it's all just white noise. All in all, stocks, they do have a positive runway for 2025, and it's for those couple of key reasons. Stocks, of course, we do know, typically rally 6 months after the first US interest rate cut. But at the moment, we've got a lot of tailwinds. We've got US rate cuts. That is supportive of economic growth to grow a little bit hotter than expected, and that's expected to stoke up more excitement and spending by the consumer and big business. And also, all in all, we're expecting to see a pickup in company profitability. So the market is more excited to the fact that the forward trajectories for the stock market look a little bit more promising.
Of course, there are other international factors apart from the US. We've got the rising tensions in the Middle East and then this ongoing eye on China. And I think the market's really waiting for some economic stimulus measures to be announced today. What do you know and what have you heard?
Well, we haven't heard anything as yet, Ricardo, but Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen China announce their biggest ever stimulus package in nominal terms in its history. And this has been very supportive of Chinese equities, Hong Kong's share market, and of course, globally, all stocks that can benefit from China's bazooka round of stimulus. So it's not only benefited names like JD.com, Alibaba, but also down under, it's been pushing up the copper price as well as supporting other industrial metal prices. But all in all, Australia is tipped to be a key beneficiary of China's stimulus. Whatever China announces today, it's probably just going to be a bit of icing on the cake.
All right. Locally, ANZ posted a 9% fall in full-year cash profit. What's your take on the banking environment at the moment? Because while margins are coming under pressure, we're seeing their shares rise today and the Commonwealth Bank actually hit a record.
It's a really interesting one. So banks are all in all, their net interest margin, which is the key metric that we look at as analysts, they've actually been declining, Ricardo, for the last 10 years. So you might be wondering why banking stocks are at record all-time highs. And the simple answer is because in Australia, we've got a superannuation never-ending pool that our employers continue to pour our superannuation guarantee payments into. And there's only so many companies on the ASX that superannuation can invest into. So naturally, big banks making up a large part of the Aussie share market, they see buying each and every quarter. And this is one of the key reasons that their valuations and share prices have been supported. It doesn't mean that banks are necessarily attractive. In fact, if you have a look at banks and compare them to all the global banks around the world, Aussie banks are actually called the most expensive in the world in comparison to their earnings. Because as you said, their earnings have been declining and this has been a very large trend over the past 10 years. And while we've got interest rates at cripplingly high levels and the RBA saying they're probably going to stay higher for longer, you would expect banks to be a bit pressured, but that doesn't mean their shares won't continue to move higher, but you probably would be expecting a pullback.
And this is an interesting time to ask you this question. It's the same one I ask everyone at the end of the podcast. Given we're seeing a change of government in the US, the potential of inflation coming down or potentially even rising, depending on Donald Trump's policies, I guess, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, by far the biggest opportunity for investors is the US. We do know the US economy is growing quicker than expected. The Fed overnight alluded to that. The US is cutting interest rates. We're probably going to see one more cut, but earnings are growing far more than they are down under here in Australia. We're probably expecting 15% earnings growth in the US. And that's a very stark comparison to our single digit earnings growth expected. Simply, you'd be expecting US stocks to really pack a punch for the next 6-12 months. And I guess potentially more lackluster returns down under. So it really would be worthwhile looking at to buying into the dip in when you see tech stocks pull back. You also mentioned inflation. Inflation is probably going to pick up. Naturally, that happens when we see a new president take to the White House, and Trump is expected to announce perhaps record stimulus. And so, of course, inflation is going to pick up. And this means that the share market could be vulnerable of a pullback if we see inflation rise a little bit hotter than expected. So expect a pullback, but I'd potentially be looking at buying into any weakness.
That's Jessica and me there from Moomoo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.